Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.
Well, it's been over a year that I had the opportunity to pick up on Suzanne Goldstein and her book, Carry a Paintbrush, How to Be the Artistic Director of Your Own Career, and come to find out that Suzanne and I are both mechanical engineers and with a passion in the arts. Right, Suzanne?
Yes, we are.
Indeed. Well, welcome to the show. And I've also come to appreciate, of course, she's also all about not just being a career coach and individual advisor, but also a true believer and focuses on business acceleration and particularly has a passion for entrepreneurship. So that's the topic we wanted to dive into today.
I'm so excited to be here. First of all, happy holidays to you and all your listeners.
Too. You bet. Thank you.
And I apologize for my scratchy throat. that's just the time of year, I guess.
For all of us, indeed.
Exactly. Excuse me. I'll try to keep it as clear as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited here today to talk about entrepreneurship because as we come into a new year, I know that so many people are thinking about their lives and thinking about what they want to do next and how to stay inspired and take their lives to the next level, and entrepreneurship just gets me very excited.
You know, though, entrepreneurship has so many different flavors, varieties, and so on, and I have a hunch you're going to talk to it in its widest context of people that are starting businesses as well as doing things from a do-good social innovation standpoint as well.
You know, I wanted to do a little prep before the show today just to make sure for listeners we understood what entrepreneurship means.
Mm-hmm.
To some people, if you hear the word entrepreneurship, it's just confusing. It doesn't mean you just work for yourself. Does it mean that you have a dry cleaning business? Does it mean that you're doing a startup that you're hoping to get, you know, outside investment for and you know, then sell it as an initial public offering on the stock markets?
Or are you doing something innovative within your own company? Too,
exactly, better
company.
Known as intrapreneurship. And you know what? I just want to start off with a couple of facts, just so people understand. Because one of the big things that people don't understand, and I relate this very strongly to job creation and what's happening in 2013 and the issues that we're still facing about in the job markets, and that is that 99% of all employment happens at the small business level. 99%. So the government actually defines a small business as 500 or less employees, and that accounts for 99% of the companies and organizations here in the country. And that's a staggering amount because everybody has been talking about, well, government has to create jobs through incentive programs and through public works programs, but it's really the private sector, and I don't mean big business private sector, but the small people private sector that is going to be so important to embrace some of the skills of entrepreneurship and go out there and actually make change in the world. So I just wanted to share a couple extra facts around this category. So there are estimated the number of small businesses in the U.S. is between 25 million and 27 million.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if each one of these tiny little companies, whether they be a micro company of five people or a solopreneur or someone like myself who works for myself, if you could say that each one of those people could grow their business enough
yep.
to hire one additional person, we would not only be able to put the 13 million people who are out of work back to work, we'd actually be looking for 12 million people to fill the rest of the jobs. And so I really turn to the concept of entrepreneurship and small business creation and growth to help us figure out how we're going to get out of the mess that we're currently in.
Well, and as we started out in the show today with Bruce Frankel, who wrote the book, What Should I Do With My Rest of My Life? The other mm-hmm. statistic, of course, is to recognize within the next 4 to 5 years, a significant group of baby boomers are indeed going to step out of the conventional workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So you're also going to have a plethora of opportunity coming forward just by the vacating of spots, and that could be in any size of business.
And a lot of the literature actually talks about this now, that, you know, there are a lot of reasons to become an entrepreneur, and there are a lot of reasons not to. So let's just start with the reasons not to. One, if you want to get rich quick, that's probably not the thing to do.
That's right.
If you're not disciplined, it's probably not the thing to do. And one of my favorites is, if people can dissuade you from doing it, it means that you don't want it so bad.
Badly, exactly. That's right.
But there are great things that you can do as an entrepreneur. And I'm going to use that big word, but I mean it as small as, one of the more lucrative small businesses you can start is a parking lot business.
Yep.
In a populated area. Or it's amazing how much money those automated car washes make. So a business can be of any size, and it doesn't have to do with technology. It doesn't have to do with some of the big target industries right now, clean tech and green energy. That business is everywhere around us, and some of them are harder. Restaurant business tends to be very difficult to grow in, mm-hmm. and even protecting yourself in the franchise market there isn't necessarily the strongest thing to do. But, you know, at this place where people are aging, they want to come out of the traditional workforce, they want to find something to do to augment their income, there are so many opportunities now, whether it's, you know, selling something through the internet. I know people who go into the import-export business because they're really good facilitators
mm-hmm,
of things.
Right.
There's so much that we can do as entrepreneurs, as people who are motivated, to actually improve our own plight. And so I'm excited that we're talking about this today.
Well, and I think the idea of, you know, improve our own plight is one way to go, but also this idea of having a greater good idea, about the idea of really wanting to live a legacy, not just leave one.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea, particularly, I know both you and I have had some affiliation with Babson College, how many of the younger students are picking projects that are more around social innovation, about creating products that at the same time do good for really impoverished parts of the world. I mean, these are real changing opportunities.
You know, I feel very fortunate that back in 2003, 2004, I was attending the mid-career program at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard, and I very fortunately befriended David Gergen, who is the senior political analyst for CNN, and he also is a professor there and runs the Center for Public Leadership. And with him, we were able to build a program in social entrepreneurship at the Kennedy School, which is interesting because you would think that, you know, a social entrepreneurship program, and that is entrepreneurial endeavors that are looking to actually have a social component to them. They're not just looking for dollars as their result. They're looking for dollars and some kind of alignment with mission.
And usually they're really sticky, complex, wicked problems, aren't they?
Many of them can be, and many of them actually don't need to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's interesting about social and enterprises in general is that they can have a lot of different types of organizational structures. So you can have a social enterprise that's a traditional nonprofit, where any money that is brought in is traditionally brought in through donation, and any monies that are made, if there is an income stream that's related to this nonprofit, get reinvested into the organization. But there are also for-profit social enterprises that are looking to make money for investors, but they're also looking for some kind of social return. And so I think of these things as merely tax structures.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
It's what tax structure do you apply to the business? My dream is that the word social enterprise or the word corporate responsibility goes away because it becomes the way that we do business,
mm-hmm, yeah.
And that it's integrated into our thinking all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, that involves really broadcasting the success of projects such as what you just referred to, as well as really emblazoning and equipping people with a different mindset to allow that, a different time horizon for payback, not being stuck in the quarter-over-quarter expectations of the financial sheets and the like.
Yeah,
Suzanne, out on your site, I was out surfing around in anticipation of a conversation today. I see that you've put up a very interesting challenge, all in support of supporting the next generation of entrepreneurs. Tell us about that.
Oh, thank you. It's a program that I'm calling Elevate Entrepreneurship. And it came about as I was thinking about the end of the year, and I often get very reflective at this time. And I try to do my year-end giving to organizations that I really think are poised to do some interesting stuff in the next year. And one of my favorite organizations is an organization called the National Foundation for Teaching Entrepreneurship. And they go into inner cities in 25 different countries, and they help young people learn the skills of building a business, whether it's going to be building a car wash business or if it's going to actually be building the next Apple computer. They teach those skills because the thought is that entrepreneurship can be taught. There are some innate things that people need, which is they have to claim and want to go do what they're going to do. But a lot of the other skills can be taught, whether it's how to think about markets and how to think about business plans and how to think about, you know, your own personality as it relates to building a business. And so NIFTY is the acronym for National Foundation for Teaching Entrepreneurship. They do some amazing work around the country. They've been around for a long time. Steve Mariotti is their founder. In fact, there's a Harvard Business School case about him. And so what I decided to do is see if I could ignite some interest in promoting entrepreneurship through a campaign that I'm doing all by myself, which is that I did a little video post about entrepreneurship and the importance of entrepreneurship. And I wanted to see if I could activate the population out there through Twitter and Facebook and all the different social media to see if I could get people to share that post or retweet it or like it on Facebook or share it on Google Plus. And for every share that I will give 10 cents to NIFTY, up to $1,000 for my year-end gift to them.
Wonderful.
It's been so much fun. I've gotten all kinds of responses from people. You know, there's counters on my website that are taking care of some of the counting, but a lot of the counting I'm doing on the back end through Google Analytics and that kind of thing. And it's just wonderful to see people engage. And I think it's fun for them to engage because I'm the one who's actually making the donation. All they have to do is make a click.
That's right, a click. I like that. But, you know, the other piece of this, though, is just the new ways to start a movement. The idea of supporting teaching of these skills, which, by the way, can afford capabilities to people regardless of which direction they go, if they would choose to work for someone else or do both at some point in time, who knows? You know, we entitled this segment Successful Entrepreneurship Lessons for Life, Suzanne. And I know that some of these ideas and the things we encounter when we talk about entrepreneurship apply across both our 9-to-5 life and our 5-to-9 life. For example, you know, the importance of self-reliance, of getting unstuck, of believing of the impossible. Those anchors and fundamentals, not to be done unrealistically, but really can help us recognize we have so much greater potential than perhaps we've ever tapped.
I think getting unstuck is probably the biggest one.
Yeah, we see that now.
One of the things I encounter in my work, and I'm sure you do as well, when we talk about change management, is that people get into a mindset that this is the way it's done. And they have a very difficult time with a very trite expression that I don't enjoy, which is thinking outside the box. Yes, we want people to think outside of the box. I like to take it further and say there is no box. And why create a box that you have to get out of? And I think that when you educate people about some of the simplest things, about possibilities, their eyes open in a brand new way. So if you go to a community that has never really thought about, give an example, in a lot of inner cities, there's obesity issues, and one of the reasons why is because there are no grocery stores where you can get fresh fruits and vegetables in the inner city, and a lot of people there then buy their food at a 7-Eleven, which is prepackaged, full of all sorts of chemicals, and doesn't have a lot of nutritional value. When you go into an inner city and you start explaining the opportunities that would change society by bringing something as simple as a farm stand into that area, people's eyes light up, light bulbs go off, and there's this realization that it can be a simple effort that can really have huge change. So teaching people about the options, I think, is an enormous part of opening people's eyes to small business development and entrepreneurship. And I would say the other part of it is that something that goes along with a lot of the other literature in terms of leadership, and you and I have talked about leadership before, that is that leadership can actually be taught. Some people say, oh, you're either born a leader or you're not. And, you know, yes, if you're the kid on the playground who everybody follows and gives the instructions to, you may be a born a leader. But there's also the opportunity to learn leadership skills. And in the same way, learning entrepreneurial skills, learning to look at the world differently, learning to take calculated risks, learning to do enough research so that you're making, estimated guesses, ones that are educated, and learning different ways of operating in the world, networking in the world, making asks that people can actually help you with. Teaching those skills changes people's lives. And whether they end up starting their own business or not, or they actually go interview for a job, one of the things that employers love to see is that you can be entrepreneurial.
Well, I was just going to tell you, this is not optional in this day and age. These kind of things you just mentioned, looking at the world differently, taking calculated risks, making estimated guesses, and then making the ask for others to help you with, that actually defines the new organizational model for high-performance companies, too, that we learn that interdependence is a good thing, not something that we should eschew and say, no, it's just about me. So, yeah, the wisdom and the advice transcends whatever the sector might be in this day and age, just as much as there's a blurring line between public and private, you know, entrepreneur, conventional business, nonprofit, for-profit.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that learning entrepreneurial skills teaches is the opposite of being lazy. The opposite of just letting the status quo be and complaining about your job and can't wait till it's Friday. So that your, 9 to 5 is over. And
well, that goes back to our earlier conversation this show about how we as leaders, and regardless of what chair you sit in, can help and engage people so they don't fall into that trap.
Mm-hmm. And in this day and age, I think it's hard. There's bad news in the world. What happened in Newtown has been devastating people. People are having a hard time focusing on their work. And it's incredibly easy to start seeing the swirling at the bottom of the drain when bad things are happening around you, and it is easier, it takes less energy to spiral downward than it does to lift yourself up and be inspired.
That's exactly right.
And so what I think that teaching entrepreneurship does is it gives people a lift, and it gives them the skills and tools to lift themselves. And, in the old adage, we don't want to give you fish, we want to teach you how to fish.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that learning some of these traits of entrepreneurs, people who are out there doing these things in the world that, are inventing great things like an iPhone, or are doing things like bringing fresh food into the inner city, or are creating Zipcar. Are you guys familiar with Zipcar?
Sure, absolutely.
In Arizona?
Yeah, sure.
Creating a way that people can share a car so that not everybody has to have their own. These are brilliant ideas that are making a huge change in society. And they're still profitable companies. You can still make money while, doing well. And one of the things I talk a lot with the students that I work with, the millennials in particular, that generation as they come into the workforce, is that they have a very different mandate than perhaps their parents did, which was they wanted to make money and be comfortable and achieve the American dream. Millennials today, they want to feel like they're making money and achieving a mission at the same time.
That's right. Yeah, that's
so the nature of work has changed, and it needs to continue to change.
That's right. We've been speaking with Suzanne Goldstein and her business, calling herself the Business Accelerator. She's also a career coach. I'd like to commend her book, Carry a Paintbrush, How to Be the Artistic Director of Your Own Career. Suzanne, how long has it been now since that book first came out?
It came out in April of 2011, the exciting news is on December 26th, I'm going on a writing retreat to start my next book.
All right, so you're going to fade off into the horizon this week.
I know.
Do you have a title in mind, or anything you want to let us know a little bit in advance here today?
Absolutely, I'd be happy to share. The interesting thing is I never intended to get into the career field. It was one of those things where I've been working as an entrepreneur and helping companies for the past 25 years. And I've had a pretty interesting, flowing career, zigzagging in and out of a lot of different industries. And people asked me time and again to explain how I did what I did. And it started feeling like I was having coffee with people to explain careers so much that it was not a great use of my time, so I ended up writing a book about it. Next thing you know, I was in the career field. I love when life happens like that. But my bread and butter and my true interest is in helping people get to a higher level in life by helping them figure out how to optimize what they're doing, how to help them grow, how to help them, you know, get unstuck and fix what they're doing. And one of the things I've been doing is with businesses a lot lately is what I call being a business doctor.
Yep. Uh-huh.
We've talked about that before. And so my new book is called Good Medicine for Business. And it is going to take a look at how businesses are run in this country, or businesses in general, and what would happen if you invited a radiologist from a famous hospital your company, and what would they be talking about?
Where would they see as they took the X-ray, the CAT scan, or the MRI?
Exactly.
Well, Suzanne, what a wonderful adventure. I wish you a great journey in doing that over the holiday.
Thank you.
And if you step back and look at 2012 now, what would you say was one of your biggest learnings for the kind of, based on the people you've interacted with, blogging, I know you're writing for the Huffington Post, a whole bunch of wonderful things have manifested. You know, as you step back and take a deep breath, what one or two things would that be?
You know, the biggest effect that had happened on my life this year was that my New Year's theme for 2012 was to give up the words crazy and busy.
Yeah, yep.
And I breathed this year.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps my biggest learning was I was talking to a girlfriend and I said, oh my God, I feel like I'm being so lazy. I feel like I'm not getting anything done. And she said, Suzanne, that's because you've been running at 150% for all these years. This is just called normal.
Normal, right.
And so normal has taken me a little while to get used to, but it was a great lesson this year. And so I definitely have had time to assess what it is I want to be focused on and get back to, you know, my roots, which is much more about helping businesses grow and change and helping the individuals in those companies excel. So I'm very excited to be, you know, focused on that stuff.
I'm packing up your bags and heading out on your retreat on December 26th. Well, we'll look forward to seeing how that plays forward. My guess is, by the way, in the spirit of Circles of Change, is that this year plus that you've spent otherwise is absolutely going to fuel you as you go forward in this new way. So congratulations. And
thanks
for contributing to the show. We'll catch up with you next year.
Awesome. Thanks so much, and very happy holidays to you and your family, Zara.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Right,
take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.